And they will provide a resource by which we will be able to build our building. The information that will be contained in them and shared with them will have an interest throughout the world, new age, old age. Could be, should be, whoever's of no importance now. We are human beings. We want to be here today to take part in a healing circle, to be with you in this healing circle process. Pray, 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 pray for everyone but yourself. Pray for everyone but yourself. Pray for the children. They have a difficult task. They're going to have to take care of us. Prepare them for that. Prepare them for that. Prepare the children for that task. Teach them not to hit, not to abuse. And those of us who are abusers, stop. Stop abusing children and stop abusing your family. And mainly stop abusing yourself. I can never erase the sorrow of my violence against people and the physicalness with which I perpetrated my anger and fear into the physical world by abusing people within my family. I can forgive myself for that, but I can never forget that. And no amount of burning will ever take that out of my memory. The sexual abuse I experienced as a child, as a young man, through and my friends and through the church, I put aside and no longer angry about that. I have no questions about my masculinity or my femininity, for I have both. And I am free to exhibit either one at any time. I have that freedom. We were talking many things, but I've been given this enormous opportunity. And I've been given this material that can be used in a good way. And we will use it. It will be developed into children's stories and CD-ROMs, cartoons for children, and maybe even vehicles for TV movies, who knows. But the message is there, and it is important, and it is critical. I come to you today in gratefulness and thankfulness for your support and for your being. And I pray for you constantly, as I did in those 6 days. I prayed, 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 prayed. I love you. And the God as we know it, Wakantanka Tukanshala, or whatever other name we give to it, loves you. And it simply asks you to remember the only thing that we were given at our creation and the creation of our universes is that everything is related. Mutakyasa.
Pesakya. Well, I don't really know how to suggest that you handle things of that type, because we don't have church services. We don't have cult meetings. And I've had a little bit of problem with that one because he is so into the UFO scene and voices and this sort of thing, that it's a little bit awkward for me even to deal with that, because people like that come for the wrong reasons, and it's hard to determine exactly what the purpose is. He lived, and probably I would have to check on this myself. I haven't been keeping up because I don't have a close relationship with that person. He heard about us, found us, And for a while he lived out in the field in his van. He had some tool shop, tap and die sort of thing, that were stolen. And somehow it was almost as if it were our fault that we should arrange now for him to have a way to and from wherever he needed to go, and to make some special arrangements to send messengers or something if we were going to have a meeting. And I believe that he probably may still live in his van. Now, I'm going to make a comment about Spelt. We have the only milling operation probably west of the Mississippi. It's very difficult to de-hull Spelt. It takes special processing and literally very old equipment, because even the newer equipment has to be handmade to handle spelt. That is the value of spelt, because it has such a covering that it's very difficult to hull that, but it also is almost resistant to everything you can name, including radiation. You can use it as insulation in your walls, and you're going to have the highest quality insulation that you can purchase. It's off the scale. It surpasses your finest grades of fiberglass insulation. It also blocks almost all radiation, including the invisible rays. But it also has the capability of non-hybridization, so that you can count on its nutritional value to be there, and it will always have a whole kernel. And by whole, I mean it will take up nutrients to make itself whole, or it won't make a kernel. So it is an extremely good food. But I don't know where someone like this could be, that when you have a special product that is also ground in the old stone milling type of processing, that is not going to get some grit, because that is the method. You know, you're going to pay twice or three times as much for a sack of stone ground flour. And that's the way the Indians made corn meal. And they used the grass seeds and, of course, wild spelt. And they ground it in those little holes with their rocks. Now, I cannot imagine that there would be anything in flour of such a size as to ruin your teeth. But
I think he bought kernels.
Well, then that's his problem. Kernels are going, you have to sort kernels exactly like you would beans. You have to check yourself for stones. But I think that probably there is a fighting word amongst all of us in this group, and that's lawyers. Go right ahead and make our day. Any more you want to do on that?
No. Thank you. Thank you. And I apologize.
Well, and I'm sorry for all you men in the room. I understand we have a tango dancer teacher. One of these days we'll have a show. We'll get Nori out here with his band, all that one-man band, and we'll have some fun. It's time. Now, I had to spend time eavesdropping, too. And you want to hear a little bit about spacecraft and visualization and so forth. It isn't that you are having so many more visible items in your sky than perhaps you did a year ago, 2 years ago. The facts are that you are increasing in your own frequency enough to be able to see them. Some of them are alien. Some are still practice toys from your own government. And those are your abducting crafts. They're getting ready for your alien invasion, you know. So there will be more and more things like that. But if you are getting response from any craft, and I think all of you know what I'm talking about, many, many will appear specifically to test and see at what level of understanding you have reached. And usually it's always a little bit sad for you observers, but maybe a craft will sit there for an hour and you finally say, yes, I see you, and it's gone. It'll just dissolve. That is acknowledgement. And that is two-way communication. We are having to test communications. That'll be Corton's billywack. Corton has got to establish the most efficient and effective means of literal communication. And always when you see that cloud that you can't really tell if there's anything solid in it, it's going to be vibrating at a frequency just under 16.943 megahertz. Because at 16.9 and so forth, you're going to have visibility to the ordinary human eye. But a lot of you, and I'm not talking about your eyesight necessarily, and we have an optician in the crowd, so don't pin me down. I don't grind optical lenses. But for the ordinary human eye to be picking up these almost invisible holograms, you can now begin to test your own frequency by what you see. And there's going to come a time, you understand, when we're going to have to be able to two-way communicate with all of you. And these are the things that I really want to get on with talking about. I'm sick of lawyers. I mean, sick of it. But that was also something that you have to do because you have reached a point of no return. You cannot continue in the way it's going without the total disaster of a civilization. And it happens over and over and over again. But it's like I was trying to expound a little bit on Commander Soltek's input. When you start getting off into the distraction of fourth dimension, you might as well move on to fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth dimension. Because once you move out of the visible world, and if you are in the visible world, the physical, feely world, you have to understand that as you evolve and other things are evolving, you will not be conscious of the evolvement. You will become more conscious of the things you never noticed before that are there. So when we come into what we're going to call, I guess, for lack of anything better, a fourth dimensional awareness, doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be invisible, but you are going to see more and more of the things that have been invisible to you. And you are going to spend more and more of your time in that separated state of, let's call it astral travel. I don't even really like that one. But it is a separation of soul essence. That part of you that detaches, but is always, and this, we call it the silver cord, for lack of any better description, but it is basically a radio attachment of DNA soul to DNA body. That's why it doesn't just hop, it doesn't bed hop. It always, as long as there is a body, as long as it is in communication or it's your direct wavelength, DNA to DNA, but you are off in this other DNA structure more and more and more. And you will be becoming more and more aware of what you are doing during those periods of time. And yet you've got so many other remarkable space-capable visitors and simple technology. But basically what you witness when they show you all these pictures were taken long before they ever sent anything out there in space to feed you back. In case something goes wrong, they can continue to feed you these pictures. And if you were as studied, as learned, as some observers are, you would see the same setting over and over and over again. They don't even have to change much of the setting. And you'll say, well, there's no way that they could simulate weightlessness, isn't there? How many of you have trouble looking at the advertisement that lifts a whole bunch of school children into the air? You're in a world of illusion. And it's being manipulated by some pretty good magicians. And yet, all the while, you really do have a tremendously difficult journey. Because you have to keep some balance in this world over here that grounds you to this, whether it's reality or unreality, it doesn't matter. This is where you are. And if you bounce off here somewhere, you're considered insane. Except that it isn't insanity. And you get pretty tired of being picked at and being considered insane. It's gamesmanship, and you're up against the shrewdest of all. You're up against the Luciferian Satan, the opposite of God. Does this mean that this being is necessarily bad? No, but he sure as hell is evil. Because his entire existence is to pull you away from God, and that's all evil is. And they're all grades of it. But the term evil simply means a deviation, someone deliberately, and it's a deliberate act. Even if the person doesn't know what he's doing, it is a deliberate act to pull another from their path toward God of goodness. God of light, dare I use the term. Sin is simply error. I made a mistake. And sins can be forgiven, corrected, whatever. I fully expected this little Seymour to get up there and say they've sinned and blasphemed. You know, coming out of his mouth would be really interesting. He probably didn't know the words, however. But sin is not recognized in our language. So that's one of yours. Error, mistake, I guess, is recognized, except that man can learn effectively by error and correction. If you are doing something right, you rarely get, nobody notes it. You know, that's supposedly what you're supposed to be doing. But you just make a mistake and everybody is going to pounce on you. Well, you're going to learn right fast not to do that again. But it's like the child walking. A little child will finally get up on its feet and teeter around and fall over. But it doesn't have far to fall, does it? It doesn't hurt that baby to collapse down onto the floor from his little rubbery legs like it does a 6'2" man to go clump from this high distance up here, from here to the floor.
A roof.
A roof. I told you I wouldn't catch you. Yes.
Can I ask a couple of questions about those crafts?
You sure can. I'd be happy if you would.
Testing. The last time I was here, I was telling you about these circular craft that we were seeing outside the window in Los Angeles. And since then, I've seen a conservative estimate might be like 20. And we see these craft. We'll see them outside the window, and they seem to be, I don't know if the right word is watching us, but the things that we would send out telepathically after clearing our space, they seem to move according to that. So if we'll see them outside the window, and we'll watch them for a while, they'll be there for about maybe 5 or 10 minutes sometimes, and then we'll say, we're going over to the patio, and we'll go over to the patio, and then it will float overhead, and we'll watch it for a while. And it will do so many different things that let us know that it's not an airplane or a balloon or anything like that. We don't need to be convinced anyway that it's what you said it was. But we're seeing so many of them now, and the things they're doing that is in response to the messages that we'll hold up or the telepathic things that we'll try to say are astounding. In addition to seeing the different cosmospheres, there's other craft that we're seeing too. Some are cigar-shaped. Some are cloud ships that will just materialize and we'll watch it. And when we acknowledge it, it just goes away like almost instantly. We'll see, when we see the cosmospheres or any of the other craft, we'll see what I think are chase planes that come just before or just after.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll see helicopters that are very, very high up, and then it will stop. And they seem like they're looking right down at us because they'll come from somewhere else, come right over to the window, stop, stay there for a while, make a slow circle, and then as they leave, another plane or a plane will come. And it's similar to the planes that I think they use for weather. I think there's a P3 Orion that looks something like it. And it'll make a high orbit. And it's centered like in the same area, and then they'll go away, and then we'll see a cosmosphere appear right in front of the window. Sometimes they're very, very close, so close that it's nerve-wracking. It's like something's going to happen, but we call on you, we send energy up, whatever we can remember to ask for protection, and then we watch, and I take lots of notes about what time they've come, what directions they're moving, the different types, and there are some days where we'll see 4 or 5 of them together within a period of a half an hour, and it all seems to be taking place right over our area. Now, I don't know if it's I don't think it's a coincidence after about 20 or 30 times, but it's the focus is too convenient for us to see. It's almost like a show. And when the cosmospheres go by, then later on we'll see these other craft that some of them, I think, today I was talking to someone and they said they're probably cosmospheres too, but they were changing shapes. And as they were changing their shapes, it was so weird because I've never seen anything like that before, except maybe on a cartoon or a special effects movie. And sometimes we'll see them, we'll go to the window and we'll watch them, and a plane will start to come by, and just before the plane got there, it sat there, it was taking its time, sometimes it would just stop, and you could sense these little pulsing-like movements. And then as the plane is coming, it will start to move a little faster and either just move quickly away or fade away, or the next time you glance at it, you can't find it anymore. And I can go on and on and on with it, but I was really wondering what should we do in a case like that to help with the communications, or what other exercises can we do to facilitate whatever it is that's being prepared? And also, I would like to know, what is the correlation between the cosmospheres, the cigar-shaped craft, there's another kind of cosmosphere that doesn't light up as bright, and you can literally see the surface of it. And it's got like a red or a brownish red tint to it. And then the cloud ships that do things I have never seen. The cloud ships, I mean, I've seen cloud ships before, but only till coming up here did I know exactly, I still don't know exactly, but I know more about them to say, okay, that's a cloud ship, and this is something else. These are cloud ships, but they're doing much more radical movement. It's a lot faster. It seems to be like right on when you're communicating mentally. And they're never too far away whenever we're seeing the cosmospheres. And with all that activity, I was wondering, what is the, is there something that's being prepared? Because I know you said it was something like that before, but since the intensity of the sightings have increased, I was wondering, is whatever it is that they're preparing for, has that increased too?
Yes. Yes. And I want all of you to note that he said he didn't like to speak. You see, what? when you're interested in your subject, how much easier it is. The entire thrust at this time is to isolate, how can I put this? Brotherhood. You see, we're going to rise above racial, for instance, anything. For instance, you don't know what I look like. You know what she looks like. Whoever told you God was a white honky? Whoever told you he was a black man? Even your Christ came out of the Middle East, where you would not expect to find a pale face with blue eyes. So you have to begin to think now into much larger dimensional thought. We are making connections with our people. And once that connection is recognized, you will always know in immediate danger, you will know what it takes just absolutely instantaneously to make that connection. And you will know what to do. There is a major thrust to begin to work within those crowded cities, because a lot of you are in what you might consider the wrong place. You're not in the wrong place. You will always be in your perfect place for any given time. Maybe you don't remember what your contract is. Maybe you don't know what you're going to do. But I can share some things that I can't put on this tape simply because they deal with very earthbound structures that I'm not going to give away. So if you want, you out there in listening land, this is no great deep secret. And we're not trying to close anyone out. I just don't want it delivered to George Green. Quite frankly. So if you will turn off these tapes a minute, I'd like to talk about this. Little Crow is a hard act to follow anyway.
A meeting or two ago, or back when we were talking, as John left us, you commented on how a soul leaves as it transitions, and how it may even sometimes not know it is left by, you know, actions it asks people to do and they don't do. And you just sort of described what it was like. Could you describe, on the other hand, what would it be like for someone who did not leave naturally, who took their own life? Would there be a difference, and how would that be?
Usually, if you have a typical suicide, and I'm talking about typical in the sense of either someone is so disturbed mentally or is on drugs or for some depressed reason kills themselves in their effort to escape, there is absolutely the momentary knowledge of all things and the error that is made. And these energies will usually linger around friends and loved ones reaching out. Don't confuse this mode of transition, because remember, you never know the contract. And even in a contractual situation where you have said, well, for another two, for the betterment of all, I will contract with God to fill my role to the best of my ability, and that may be to make transition under these kinds of circumstances. Although before a human entity will realize this, they will become quite desperate. They will be tormented individuals. They will be out of their time sink. They will be longing for some type of freedom. Your children will be afraid of atomic suicide of a planet. Fear, whatever is pressurized thinking or thought process beyond which you can't see beyond the moment of relief. Let's put it that way. Versus what one who does maybe have a contract sees beyond the act and what may be a contribution. And I can use an example. You have a young man or an elderly man or whatever. He can see that he can make a contribution over here on this side, past this passage, either with insurance or estate or some contribution that will allow a flow forward. So you will often have this. I consider every death a suicide. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because every death is a choice and a suicide, as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe if you were 900 years and you, it's still a choice. But we're talking now suicide, let us say, of some despondent person who sees no value. No value. Maybe beyond, oh, well, my husband would be happier without me as an invalid, or whatever might be this depressed state. These are terribly tormented souls. The minute that it's over, they wish they hadn't done it. If you are just making a transition, and Dr. Kevorkian is as appalling as it's going to sound that I say this, has done some pretty good stuff. I don't approve of what he does because of the circumstances. On the other hand, an individual should have the right to have some dignity in that passage. And let's face it, most of the medical profession wants to keep them alive to make the money. So let's not play games about it. It isn't about dying. It's about money. And if a body is so deteriorated that there is no hope of recovery for that body, you have locked a soul into a useless body. Now, you may have a very deteriorated body as long as the mind is bright. There is always some contribution to be made if you choose to make it. And most people really don't even think beyond the moment of suicide. And therefore, that's why it is considered an error. Certainly you can't consider it a sin or even a heresy or an act against God. It is despondency. It is sad that one gets to that point, but they also realize instantly, that it was a mistake because it did not allow the soul to accomplish what it needed to accomplish, and suddenly here I am on this plane. I can't do anything about it. I can't reverse it. I don't really have anywhere to go because I don't know where to go. And these souls will usually linger around. And as here comes visibility again, you will see, begin to see. Just like Dorma can sit here with me right now and see the room full of energy forms, various forms. They gather, their guides bring them to hear these kinds of talks because it is coming from a spiritual level. The spirit can hear it. And they can interact on this higher level that you can't see, but they can. But they no longer have the ability to rectify anything with their hands. They no longer have the ability to sit and reason out anything. They just are. And in that state of being, you have not gained knowledge. You've lost the ability to reason it out. So that is basically limbo land. Where do you go? What do you do? You are there. You are trying very frequently to live vicariously from association with a living being. You try, if you have an alcoholic, this is why bars are so incredibly bad. I mean bad. And the lower the life forms attending these bars, the lower the energy form. And this is why alcohol and drugs are so dangerous, because you lose your control. And they are right there in your head, trying to live vicariously through this body that you didn't seem to care enough about to stay conscious of it.
Commander?
Yes.
Hello. My name is Mac. I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm affiliated with the Council of Light, which is a...
That's plagiarism.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You have to have a sense of humor in here.
It's a multidimensional group that is a group entity, and we wish you a good day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I shouldn't have done that, but I knew it was acceptable. We can get so serious about our spirituality because it's so desperate. It's a desperate time that you need a little comedy relief. It's...
Well, Commander, may I ask something on the topic of things unseen that are becoming seen? In the last... I think I'm getting on that one, but I'll hold this one if you like. That's fine.
If about 3 or 4 months ago, I started to experience what I would call a very busy matrix pattern in motion. Like if I look at that wall and pull my focus back a little, I see these little squiggly things moving around. And it never happened to me before for 60-some years.
It's those hearing aids.
Is that the simplest solution?
It'll ruin your vision.
Well, I feel like it has something to do with the frequency going up, but I just wondered if you had any other comment, or does anybody else see
it? No, you can see it.
Yeah.
Those are energy waves. I mean, you can see, think of it as summertime, and you see vapor heat rising. Those are invisible rays, but you can see them. No, you can see these energy waves. The whole universe is pulsed waves. And you're just becoming a little bit more conscious of looking.
Thank you.
But it's still the hearing aids.
I have a question about the Earth being a living being. Does it have any... Special attributes like eyes and ears and nose and that kind of thing?
Haven't you seen The Man in the Moon? Nora, of all people...
No, I'm being serious.
Earth, like you, is a reflection of God. It does not have eyes and ears and nose, but it has all of it. All of it. It senses weather. It senses its own life. I can only express it as you versus a tree. You have the ability to reason. The tree is. And it accepts itself as is. And yet it reflects everything that is. And you have your circulation system both within and without. And when you look at yourself in the perspective of being this little tiny spot with the gift of reason, this is your domain. But God did not send you or make you to have dominion over everything in the sense that it has come to mean. I control everything. This tree is at my mercy. Go ahead. Cut off every tree on your globe and let's see how long it takes for you to die. This is such a superior being existing and allowing you to exist that you cannot imagine. And yes, indeed, it senses everything from the finest frequency of pulse to the tiniest photon of light to its own temperature. And it's much like your body. If you only knew about your own miracle called a body, and while ones are trying to fathom the universe, you don't even know what your liver does. You know if the gallbladder plugs, but what is the gallbladder? What is gall? How does it happen to get there? What filters and what goes and what is this miracle between your ears that can reason? That God has gifted you with thought and choice. It isn't like the world says, I'm going to get that one. I'm tired of her walking on my grass stems. It's a very accepting world, but it expects you to respect it and protect it. You are to be the caretakers. Now, doesn't that scare you to death? This is like having a babysitter that comes in and murders your children bit by bit by bit. So Nora's asked me a very sensitive question because this is part of our mission. We must bring this wonderful living entity back into some kind of ability to express again in perfection and balance.